In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
And welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on September 24th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and I am joined by Ethan Lee, fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm fine. My voice is quite hoarse because I'm trying to get over my cold. But hey, I'm still here.
That's good.
Yeah. Apparently you're tired and stuff.
I've been napping pretty much all day. I haven't been productive outside of going to class. So, yeah.
You know, I would love to have that schedule. Just sleeping. Sleeping would be wonderful.
Well, I mean, it's nice to be productive here and there. And I just haven't been productive. Granted, you know, I only got about 3 hours of sleep last night, and I napped for about 3 hours. So pretty much as soon as we're done recording, I might go to bed.
So you're going to be going to bed at approximately 8:45?
Yes, probably.
You're tired.
Yes.
So on the show today, we're going to preview the Auburn Tigers, the plains of Alabama. You know, we're going to be previewing those Tiger War Eagle Plainsmen. That should be interesting. And then we're going to do our SEC picks, where Ethan Lee has taken a one-game lead over me, and I'm not in a good mood about it.
So you are right now to what I was on the last show?
Yeah.
Okay.
But were you in a bad mood about it?
No.
No.
I was just... Do you not remember that I was grumpy on the last show?
You were very grumpy on the last show.
I guess we're going through, like, the seven dwarves of Ethan right now, because I'm dopey today, and I was grumpy. So,
yeah.
Shout out to Disney.
Indeed.
This is a weird show already.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's our 10th episode.
Woo!
I'm not sure if you realize that or not.
I'm just now realizing it.
We've been doing this for 10 recordings. This is our 10th recording.
In fact, as you listen, tomorrow will be our 1 month anniversary. Happy anniversary, Ethan.
Is it really? Wasn't that last week?
We started on August 25th.
Did we?
Yep.
I thought we started the week before.
You're incorrect. Let me make sure and check, because I don't want to be wrong, because I'm the producer person. Yep, August 25th.
Oh, so we've been doing this for a month.
Happy anniversary.
It's kind of weird.
I know. Happy anniversary, hey, show.
Our show is a month old.
Indeed. It's growing right before our eyes.
This just keeps getting weirder.
We are going to talk about Auburn now. The Auburn Tigers are a staggering 2-1. And
yeah, they're really impressive at 2-1, too.
You know
who they've beaten?
You know, Ethan, may I say something?
Go for it.
Jeremy Johnson for Heisman, man.
Yeah, he can't even beat out a snowboarder for quarterback.
I mentioned this to you earlier. We'll go ahead. Well, actually, before I mention what I was about to say, I'll go ahead and do my standard previewing procedures. Ethan, what are your initial thoughts about this game?
This game's just going to be, I feel like it could be really weird, just like the rest of the season has gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, Mississippi State, as we look at it right now, is the better team. We don't have questions at offensive line. We don't have questions on the defense. We don't have as many injuries on the defense. You know, we have a quarterback. Auburn has questions just about everywhere. They're starting a snowboarder at quarterback. Shout out to Crystal Method for that article.
It was a solid article.
So, I just, you know, it feels like Auburn didn't even have an off season. You know, they just showed up and like, oh, you know, we'll play football without addressing any of the concerns coming into the season. And for all the hype that they got, they had a lot of questions. Them and Alabama both had a lot of departures from last year's teams, and everybody just assumed, oh, they're Auburn, they're Alabama, they'll replace all of those, you know, studs going to the NFL. Mississippi State sends people off to the NFL. We had, what, five drafted? Six drafted?
Yes.
And then, you know, because we're Mississippi State, we can't compete. So I think the rest of the world is starting to wake up to this notion that, you know, Alabama and Auburn are both very vulnerable to this sort of, I guess, atrophying of a team after talented classes. And that's a whole different rant. I don't know why I'm starting to get into that. But maybe Stingray can take over for that rant for me.
We are Mississippi State.
So, I don't know. With Auburn having so many questions, our biggest question being, I guess, maybe the defense not producing any turnovers. Maybe.
Which is kind of what the obvious, which is kind of what the opposite of what we were expecting from Manny Diaz this year.
Yeah, you know, other than that, the defense has been relatively solid. People want to criticize him for this last game. Well, I mean, he held Northwestern State under 300 yards.
I will forever be criticizing the secondary until it's obvious that it's fixed. So,
that's fair. But we can't jump to any conclusions right now based off two of the three games we've played, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The LSU game is really the only measuring stick. We lost to LSU by 2 points. Could have beaten them. Had several opportunities to, you know, we had one opportunity definitely to tie, another opportunity definitely to beat. State really didn't get in a rhythm until late in that game, but honestly, we had a shot at beating LSU, who looks to be the best team in the West right now.
And LSU,
well, you're also a ninny, so, LSU beat Auburn by, 24 points this past week?
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're just going to compare the commonality of opponents, then I would say that Mississippi State is clearly the better team here.
Did you just call me an enemy?
I said ninny.
I thought you said enemy.
See an enemy?
I swear you said enemy, but hey.
I said ninny. I don't know. I might be losing my voice, which is a good thing that the game is away this week.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm glad I'm not going. Because I've been to Auburn the last two times. One of those days was, at the time, the worst day of my life. That was such a miserable day. But hey, I'm not going this year. And I believe that if we win, it is simply because Daniel Black was not in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Is Auburn pretty? Like, everybody tells me, oh, it's a pretty area, a pretty school. I've never
it's
been.
It's all right.
It's all right?
It's all right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going this time. I'd love to go.
Harvey doesn't think it's pretty.
Well, I mean, he also destroyed probably the prettiest part of Auburn, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minus the toilet paper.
Yeah, that's just dumb. Ooh. As much crap as we get about the cowbells. Oh, let's go waste toilet paper. Do you not understand? Like, toilet paper is a magnificent invention. We are not European. We are not Japanese. We don't do the bidet. We use toilet paper. And if you're throwing, like, the Charmin Ultra Soft up there, you are quite literally the dumbest person in the state of Alabama.
If you are throwing the Charmin Ultra Soft up there, you are the dumbest person in Alabama. That should be a headline for this show. That may be the show's title.
Let me write that down so we remember it for when we when you upload it. Let me find a marker.
If you're throwing the Charmin Ultra Soft out there, you might be the dumbest person in Alabama. So you're saying that all Auburn fans are the dumbest people in Alabama?
Only if you're throwing really nice toilet paper there.
So every single Auburn student is the dumbest person in Alabama?
I mean, I didn't extend it that far. I just said Charmin Ultra Soft.
Oh, so not like, what's another toilet paper brand? What about this regular Charmin?
I mean, you're still kind of dumb. It has to be Ultra Soft. I don't know. I feel like that's such a waste of such a vital product in our society.
You know, I'm guessing that your toilet paper choice is Charmin Ultra Soft.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, figured.
Yeah.
Is Charmin the one with the bears?
Yes. They have really bad commercials.
They really do.
About, like, leaving pieces behind on the bear butts, but I mean, they make such good toilet paper that I don't really care.
This is the weirdest show we've ever done. We're talking about bear butts.
Okay, so if you're throwing the Charmin Ultra Soft up there, you're the dumbest person in Alabama?
Dumbest person in Alabama, yes. That's what you said.
Cool. I'm just making sure.
Okay.
Because I'm writing it down.
Underline it, highlight it, box it, whatever.
I'm writing it with a highlighter.
Gotta get those colors, man. Pretty colors.
Yep.
So let's talk about this football game. Let's talk about Auburn for a second. The Auburn Tigers are currently 2-1 on the year, 0-1, with impressive victories over 0-3 Louisville, Division II Jacksonville State by a touchdown in overtime, and then a 24-point loss to the LSU Tigers. Auburn is unranked in the AP, which is the more important poll, the one that matters. If the coaches has Auburn 25th, the coaches should be shunned. Or sorry, actually, the SID poll. My bad.
Mizzou's ranked in the AP poll, and they look almost as bad as Auburn. So,
UConn isn't as bad as Jacksonville State, Ethan. UConn could beat Jacksonville State.
Could they beat Toledo?
But Arkansas is not ranked.
No, and they don't deserve to be.
It's true. So,
this is a weird show.
The Auburn Tigers are starting Sean White at quarterback. Snowboarding legend, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Apparently a redshirt freshman quarterback who was a 4-star out of high school who is making his first ever collegiate football start.
Which and there's something to be said about. Okay, he's a pocket passer?
Yes. He is not a dual threat. He is a pocket passer. Pocket passer, which could possibly, if he really can actually do some things through the air, that could bring problems for Mississippi State, knowing how much our secondary has struggled thus far this year.
But if we're only having to cover Duke Williams, just because of the injuries they've had and the lack of receiving depth that they have. I mean, their only true weapon that I know of is Duke Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And even he hasn't really been that impressive this year. I don't know if that's on his quarterback. I don't know if that's on the play calling. I don't know.
Let's check out his stats here. Whoops.
They're probably not very pretty.
Did not mean to. There it is. That's what I wanted. Duke Williams isn't even their leading receiver. He has 7 receptions for 81 yards and a touchdown. Ricardo Lewis is their leading receiver with 14 receptions for 132 yards and a touchdown. And when we thought that their running game would be unstoppable,
it hasn't.
They've combined for 116 yards from they've combined
that's 116 carries.
Yeah, they've combined for 515 yards from 116 carries.
And that's over 3 games?
Yeah, so I don't have a I can do pull up the calculator here. Well, here's the average. It's 100. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. They're averaging 171 yards per game. Never mind.
When you look at total offense, it's really not that great. 171?
Well, that
for the offense that they should be running?
You make a good point. You make a good point. That's not great.
And it's not even like, who's expected to be their
Rock Thomas? You know,
yeah, he's not playing
He's
well.
Averaging and 28 yards per game.
I knew he was injured against Jacksonville State. I don't know how he was against LSU.
I can look that up.
Yeah. But he, like, Peyton Barber's having a solid year, but I don't...
Rock you know, Thomas don't against LSU... had 8 carries for 37 yards. Not
good. Yeah, not good. And there's no other running threat there right now, so...
Throwing the ball, all we have are the stats of Jeremy Johnson, so that's kind of irrelevant. But if Jeremy Johnson comes into the game at all, Jeremy Johnson so far this year is... 43 for 72 for 473 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. Which is an average of 157.7 yards per game, by the way.
Like I was saying, when you combine their totals, it's not impressive at all. This offense is horrible.
Yeah, they are.
It's something out of the Kroom era, you know?
They are.
And Malzahn's supposed to be the freaking wizard of offenses, so
they are averaging 329 total yards per game.
I mean, that might be better than some of the Kroom era,
but also giving up 443 yards per game.
Yeah, I ain't scared.
They are averaging 26 points per game compared to 29.7, but we saw what LSU did. Now, with that being said, LSU is sort of a completely different offense than Mississippi State. But if LSU can
put
up...
You look at what Jacksonville State did.
If LSU can put up 45 points by pretty much running the ball the entire game, we could probably step it up a notch. Of course...
And you've got to imagine they're gashed by now. They're tired.
I'm just going to look at their passing yardage here.
LSU's or...
Auburn's. They're giving up an average of 172 passing yards per game, which really isn't bad.
No.
That's not bad at all. But, of course, once again, they're playing LSU, who pretends that they don't even have a quarterback. They probably think Leonard Fournette's their quarterback.
I mean, Brandon Harris is actually, he's a pretty good quarterback from what we saw him do in the limited snaps against us. You know, he was able to handle the pressure with boys, and he's one of the better SEC quarterbacks. It's a shame that he's not used more.
You know, speaking of Leonard Fournette, and I probably should have mentioned this in our LSU game preview, but did you know that he has a brother on LSU just in the team? There's Leonard Fournette, and then there's Leonard Fournette.
I remember hearing about this.
Yeah, that his parents are quite unoriginal when it comes to names.
That had to have been really confusing. Like, if they were ever in trouble as a kid. Yo, Leonard! Like, how would you know? Like, if your parent is yelling at you, would you be able to really tell the difference between Leonard and Leonard?
What if Leonard and Leonard were in the same class? Leonard Fournette, if you pronounce Leonard Leonard, because it's kind of spelled the same. Leonard Fournette, and they both raise their hands, and you don't know which one's which.
They're not twins, are they?
I hope not.
Like, is one of them older? I'm sincerely, like, hoping that they are not twins.
That if you would name twins Leonard and Leonard, that I would blame the parents in that situation.
That would have been tough. Let's get back on topic. This is a very weird show.
So, let's talk about that Will Muschamp defense for a second here.
Are we sure that he's not coaching the offense?
Have you seen what?
Are we sure he's not coaching the offense right now?
You
I mean,
oh,
we look at these numbers.
No, Will Muschamp's offenses at Florida were a lot worse than this, because Will Muschamp's offense at Florida averaged a good about 17 points per game. They could
by the end of the season, this Auburn team might be worse than that.
Will Muschamp's offense, their defense could give up 10 points per game, but they would probably lose every game by about a field goal or a touchdown. That's how.
So back to their defense right now.
Yeah, have you seen any dramatic improvement?
If anything, they've gotten worse.
I don't think they've gotten worse, but I haven't seen a. The only time I ever saw improvement is the first half of the Louisville game.
Well, granted, Casanova McKenzie has been injured, from what I understand. And you have Carl Lawson, who has been in and out. So, you know, those are two studs that were supposed to be really impactful for them this year. And, you know, they're missing in action there. You know. So, yeah, but you can't put it all on them.
Mm-hmm. So, we pretty much talked about the offense and the defense. Now let's just talk about the game itself. No numbers, no sides of the ball or anything.
Yeah.
I believe that this is a make-or-break win game for Mississippi State.
You know, it coincidentally is a make-or-break game for Auburn.
You know, Ethan, I know that you ain't scared, or whatever you say. Speaking from experience in my life, Mississippi State's beaten Auburn once on the road in my lifetime. That year was the beginning of the end of the Tommy Tuberville era. They just lost to South Florida the week before. And, you know, I'll let you... And this is a game, when you think of home field advantage, and I personally think that home field advantage is one of, is arguably the most important factor of a football game, depending on who's playing.
Outside of, you know, having a Heisman candidate quarterback and stud receivers and
Ethan,
good head coaches.
Ethan, get to where I'm saying. Let me speak. Do not jump to conclusions. Okay.
Well, I mean, I already called you out on the last show.
I edited it out, by the way, because I had to save space for... It's technical things.
Oh,
you told me that I had power to edit it out. I'll tell you this. Ethan before the show Tuesday that I was going to pick Auburn on Thursday, and he pretty much blurted out that I was going to pick Auburn, and because he was all grumpy, lumpy. He was a Debbie Downer over there.
I wanted the MSU Mafia to come get you.
They didn't. Ha ha.
Okay, so you know,
so,
home field advantage is the most important thing.
Okay.
That, yeah.
So in this game, with how Auburn's been performing, I have a teacher at my school who was my 7th grade reading English teacher, one of my favorite teachers I've ever had, and I stopped by his office to talk about the game, and he said, "Mr. Black, are you here to rub it in?" I said, "I'm not an LSU fan, sir. I don't know what to rub in. Are you here to pre-rub it in?" "I'm not sure, because I don't know what's going to happen in the game." He said, "This," and I quote, "We are going to lose every single game for the remainder of the year." I asked him what his non-conference what their non-conference slate is. He said, "Idaho and San Jose State. They are going to lose, apparently, they're going to lose to both San Jose State and Idaho."
Would not surprise me, honestly.
So the Auburn fans are obviously genuinely pissed off, to put it bluntly.
How many of them do you think are going to show up?
I think it'll be a sold-out crowd.
Oh, wow.
But if Mississippi State gets out to let's say that they stop or they force a turnover and then get a touchdown and then go for a 3-and-out. Let's say Mississippi State has a 10-0 to the 14 or a 14-0 lead either in the first quarter or just sometime in the first half. That stadium could empty out in a second, and there could be boos. There could be booing.
Well, I mean, I was about to say, there's going to be boos anyway. It's an SEC game.
Yeah. And
the college students there, especially
well,
there...
Well, you know what?
...will need something to enjoy this game.
Forget the college students. There could be 55-year-old men sitting on the standing in the stadiums with their... With their 10-year-old, 45 or 55-year-old men with their 10-year-old son gay. Boo! Boo! Get him out of there, Gus!
I was talking about a different type of... You said booze. That was alcohol.
Oh, I thought you meant... I was mentioning B-O-O.
No.
Booze is also true, like the B-O-O-Z-E. Yes, that's true as well. But that's not what I was talking about.
I think both will be present.
Yes, both will be present. So this could be a bit of a home field disadvantage, maybe. And I'll go ahead and tell you this. That I've been to the last two games in Auburn.
Yeah.
When Chris Rolfe got stopped short of the goal line. And then when that little pat, when they drove pretty much 90 yards in a good minute and a half to beat us.
Yeah.
And this is a story I'll quickly tell. That 2013 game, I was driving on the bus, the shuttle bus, back to the car. Ole Miss just slaughtered Texas. Ole Miss fans were excited. They were texting me left and right because I've got a bunch of Ole Miss friends that I'll have to deal with eventually, that I've had to deal with. And we went to Sonic after the game to get some food. We ordered it. We waited there literally for 45 minutes and the food never came. So we just sat through that kind of game. We didn't eat dinner. Ole Miss slaughtered Texas. My phone is exploding with idiot Ole Miss fans texting me. And so I haven't eaten since about 1 p.m. It's midnight. I go home and my phone is still exploding. Do you think I had a nice night?
Do I have to answer?
That, no. But okay. You know what? Guess what?
What?
I'm not going this time.
That's good.
Because of that, Mississippi State wins. I'll say the score. We'll go ahead and just give our predictions. Mississippi State wins, in my opinion. I'll say the score is 28-24. That's my prediction.
That's an interesting game.
What's yours, Ethan? And it's, by the way, the score will not be 3-2. Just heads up.
God, I hope not. This Auburn team is clearly a dumpster fire. They're having to replace who was supposed to be a Heisman candidate with a guy that doesn't really... I'm not sure why Malzahn recruited him if he's a pro passer. That doesn't seem like a Malzahn quarterback. So, you know, I'm interested to see how their offense will do. I don't think they'll have much success running the ball because they really haven't so far. And as a lot of MSU fans like to point out, if the quarterback can't run the ball, then the running game doesn't exist. And for Auburn's offense, I think that's even more particularly true than it is for ours. Because I don't, you know, I don't think Auburn's going to score more than 20 points. Mm-hmm. And I don't think their defense, which has given up, I mean, oodles of rushing yards to LSU. Granted, that's LSU. I would say MSU scores somewhere 40s, Auburn 17. 45-17, let's go with that.
You're saying we're going to beat Auburn 45-17?
Yeah, I'm really tired, so I did a really poor job of explaining what I'm thinking, but I'm not convinced that Sean White is the answer for Auburn. Granted, we haven't seen him play. For all we know, he's going to throw for 700 yards on us, but yeah, I just don't buy that this Auburn team is miraculously going to improve from where they were last week. I think, if anything, this is just a downward spiral.
Okay.
So you say Mississippi State 45, Auburn 17. I say Mississippi State 28, Auburn 24.
I will say this. I think it'll probably be close at half.
Okay.
But I think MSU will pull away in the second half.
I appreciate your optimism, I guess.
I don't know. I'm half asleep right now. Let's jump into our next game.
SEC Pick'em time. Ethan Lee. You and your... You have a 27-7 record to my 26-8 record. You have a one-game lead. So let's go ahead and breeze through these really quickly. We start off with a barn burner in Columbia. UCF at South Carolina.
That one might be a 3-2 game.
That literally could be a 3-2 game. UCF is currently 0-3 with losses to FIU and Furman. And we know how much of a dumpster fire. I put this on my SEC recap that South Carolina's offense is a burning tire rolling down a hill that enters a building, and the building subsequently bursts into flames. That's what South Carolina is. But hey...
I mean, the Gamecocks are still going to win.
Yeah, I think UCF is a worse team. And hey, Mike Bianchi can talk about how much UCF should replace Mississippi State in the SEC, am I right?
So LSU is going to have to get up early and travel to Syracuse.
The Carrier Dome, man, that dang dome named after an air conditioning company.
That's kind of a weird matchup. I mean, kudos to them for actually traveling somewhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
LSU wins big.
Easily.
We both have... should we even pick this game? The Jaguars of Southern at Georgia?
Wouldn't it be fun if Georgia was upset? Even though, I've picked Georgia to go into the playoffs and stuff.
I mean, hey, swaction, man. Swaction.
Yeah, no, we both think Georgia's going to win here.
Yes.
They're going to win big.
Pretty much the first...
Especially...
The first interesting game, SEC game of the week.
One of the only interesting
is.
It's the SEC on CBS.
Yeah, I just had to do that. Tennessee at Florida on the 2:30 SEC CBS game with Uncle Vern and Gary.
Would you be Vern, or would I be Vern?
I don't know. Because the thing is, we're when it comes to physical stature, we're approximately the same height. You're bigger than I am.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yes. You're probably going to grow taller than me because you're still growing.
I genuinely don't know who would be Gary and who would be Vern. If you want to be the idiot, you can be Gary.
Oh.
If you want to have,
I'm honestly not a huge fan of either of them.
So, yeah.
Let's go ahead and jump back on topic and get off these weird tangents we've been going on.
I was about to take this conversation really weird, but I was able to refrain myself. I'll tell you what I was about to say after the show. But hey, what are we about to say?
Thank you. I'll let you go ahead and pick first.
I think I know who you're going to pick, but I'll pick Tennessee to break the 10-game streak.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Gators.
Okay.
I think they'll break our friend Charlie Burris's heart.
And if Tennessee loses to Florida, imagine what kind of fire there will the town of Knoxville, Tennessee, will literally explode. It will just like that, it'll spontaneously combust.
You think Neyland Stadium will, like, fall into a sinkhole or something?
I think you're saying Neyland Stadium on purpose now.
At this point, I'm just sticking with it. I don't care.
I think that Neyland Stadium, as you say, will probably die. It will burn.
Don't they have, like, dead bodies under the field or something?
I've heard that, yeah. I've heard that. That there was, like, some science experiment, and they have... I've heard that
some
story.
Lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pick Tennessee, you pick Florida. Here's yes. a fun one. The Warhawks of Louisiana Monroe traveled to Alabama. You know,
I will say this. Okay. I was in like 7th grade when Alabama lost to Louisiana Monroe last. Mm-hmm. And I think this Alabama team, even though it's not as good as most Saban teams, is still better than that team.
And by the way, that game you're mentioning was
yeah.
a Nick Saban team. 2007.
Yeah, it was.
Fresh off of their loss to Mississippi State.
You know, I think this... I don't know. I don't think Alabama's going to find the offensive answers they're looking for, but their defense should be good enough to hold Louisiana Monroe to fewer points. Than what Alabama's... I don't know.
Yeah.
Alabama's going to win big.
So, yeah. Crimson Tide. Roll Tide. I need to find the vine.
No, please don't.
Do you not want me to?
I'm already, like, half asleep. I'm not in a good frame of mind to deal with that. I can hardly put sentences together right now, as you've observed.
Yeah,
and the listeners
have. Observed that. Well, then how about I play a different vine?
Okay, sure.
I don't know if y'all read that, but that says ass whooper. What the tide does be whooping that ass.
Oh, gosh.
That was on a license plate, by the way. So we both have Alabama winning. That should be a new tradition, just playing Alabama vines whenever we pick Alabama.
Can you go with the Scott Van Pelt just yelling, Paul?
I have that reserved. But they're playing
Thank
Georgia
you.
Next week, so I don't know if we're going to pick Alabama. But anyways,
Ooh.
Jerry World, Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium, the Aggies of Texas A&M playing the Razorbacks of Arkansas, your favorite team of Texas A&M.
Who are you picking?
I swear to God, if you pick Arkansas, I will punch you through the computer. I'm picking Texas A&M. Don't tell him. Don't. Ethan.
I mean, we saw Kirk Herbstreit on Twitter today.
Oh, my God.
Talking about how A&M needs to be on notice because Arkansas has nothing to lose at this point except for maybe 9
points. Oh, my God. Arkansas lost to Toledo.
I know. Just let me continue.
Okay.
Would you just let me have my moment?
I'll let you have. Okay. I won't speak.
I'm having a hard time speaking because I'm tired.
Okay.
I literally just woke up from a nap, and A&M's gonna win, but I think it'll be close.
Thank God.
And I, you know, as I've said before, this A&M team hasn't deserved the hype yet, and I think Arkansas will expose them a little bit.
Let me ask you this.
Go for it.
If you think A&M is overrated, last year A&M was really overrated going into this game, snuck out of Jerry World with a win, a touchdown victory in overtime, before playing Mississippi State and getting demolished. You know who Texas A&M plays next week?
Mississippi State.
You know who they're playing this week?
Arkansas
you know
and Jerry
who,
World.
You know who you believe is... If you know, do you... Who do you think is overrated?
A&M.
This obviously means... And you know what? In what week last year did Texas A&M play Mississippi State?
It was like the first week of October or something
week
like that.
Week 5. What week is next week?
Week 5. And we're both going to be at the game,
too. We are both going to be at the game. I guess I'll see you there.
We were both at last year's game.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got the parallels exist for us to beat A&M.
I've got my pick set. Okay. We both picked Texas A&M.
Over Arkansas. Yeah. Hey, if you were to throw a score out there for that game, what would you say?
Texas A&M 41, Arkansas 21.
See, I was thinking more something along like 35-32.
Well,
with A&M.
So this one, I'm excited. Vanderbilt travels to Oxford.
Well, let's just not talk about it because Ole there's no way Vanderbilt's winning.
Ole Miss wins by about 60. I'm gonna say it. Ole Miss wins. Yeah. They will. I'm bold. I guess this is a bold prediction. Ole Miss puts 70 up against Vanderbilt.
Probably.
We already picked Mississippi State Auburn, and now for the most boring craptastic game of the week, the Missouri Tigers travel to Lexington, Kentucky, to take on the Wildcats.
So, yeah. I sent you a link last night to a quote from an interview from former classmate of mine, Jamon Moore, who is Missouri's leading receiver right now.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he reportedly sent a text to Matty Mock saying, it's high time that the offense get itself together.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess that means something.
Yeah. I mean, the leading receiver is calling up the starting quarterback, who might not be the starting quarterback. But that being said, Kentucky doesn't really have much of an offense right now either against quality opponents.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, Missouri has a good defense.
It's true.
Who are you picking?
Before I pick, I want to mention one little thing here. Last week, both of these teams combined 18 points.
Gosh.
I'm picking Kentucky in a 10-7 game.
I'm going to go with Missouri with that same score.
Okay. So,
because I don't believe Kentucky can win.
We have anything. One game difference. We've got two games difference. So you will either take a three-game lead or... Is that right?
We could...
There are a lot of scenarios.
I don't know.
I don't know.
We're too tired for this. I'm too tired for this.
Yes. That'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
This season's very weird.
Yes.
And if it's just going to keep getting weirder, I hope it gets weird to the point where we see Vandy upset Ole Miss.
I will genuinely cry if that happens. I will be so freaking happy. They beat Alabama and then
Monroe,
turn around and lose to Vanderbilt. Oh, my God.
If Louisiana Monroe and Vanderbilt both win, there's no other scenario where I would have been more happy to have been wrong in predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my final thought.
Yep. So that'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. We're not going to have a show on Tuesday because there are some technical issues that I will explain later because we have to wrap this up. But we will be back Thursday with both an Auburn recap and a Texas A&M preview. We'll be doing double duty, folks. Double freaking duty on Thursday.
Nice.
But anyways, that will wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And until next time, thank you all for listening. And bye, everybody.